This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Before I talk about what I want to talk about, I just want to dispel a myth that I'm sure most of you are aware that it's a myth, but some of you might not be. And that is the idea somehow that has crept into Muslim culture that boys are better than girls, or actually more preferable. And I think part of the problems that we have in our Muslim communities have to do with cultural problems. And I would say that they're universalized, they just manifest differently according to different cultures. The United States is also a country that suffers from that same problem in its view and attitudes towards women. And in fact, Dr. Abdul-Hakim Winter wrote a paper that is really worth reading called Boys Will Be Boys. And in that paper he describes the fact that it's actually Islam that prevents this very insidious idea from taking over. Because if you look outwardly at the situation that we have, the vast majority of men have certain qualities that are superior to the vast majority of women in the outward. And most of them have to do with basic physical qualities. And in fact, the physiology of women's design, it's not designed for rough sports. And one of the major problems that's occurring in America, because young girls are beginning to play contact sports and rough sports, is the increase in the number of sports-related injuries that actually relate to physical structures, the difference between the knees of men and the knees of women, the difference between the hips. Female hips are very different. The shoulder blades. If you look at the basic bone structure of a woman and you look at the basic bone structure of men, they are different. So there's a physical difference. Now, obviously, there are certain women that are very strong, and then there are certain men that are very weak. And so it's something that is more of a bell curve type of understanding. But one of the things that Dr. Winter points out in that paper is that when you have a society that begins to create a culture of this outward overachievement, that basically he says that it is the women who will eventually suffer greatly because they are compelled to compete with men in areas that there was never meant to be any competition. And this is why there's this attempt now to reach this threshold where females can actually compete in male sports categories. So there's this idea of finally getting a woman who can actually make it to pro basketball in the men's league. Now, as of now, it was a great historical event when this poor woman dunked a basketball in a basketball game recently. It was considered like this immense event that she was able to do this dunk that occurs every single day all over the country by men playing basketball. Is this what we want our women to be doing and competing in? And what Islam does is it creates a competition not in the outward but in the inward. And in that, it is the men who are disadvantaged, which is really interesting. So the opposite happens. If you look in a sports track, you have, if you watch an Olympic sport or even in high school, you have the people in the outward lap are given a head start because the people in the inward lap have a shorter run on that first lap. By the second lap, because they can all move into the inward lap, it will equal out. But they put the runner who's in that outward lap, they give him a head start because in the end it's going to equal out. And the same is true, you see, for the inward spirituality. Men are given this head start so that it equals out. And that's why men are given things that they're to do spiritually, like the qawama. You see, men are there to maintain women. That is that little head start that they get. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran, that giving men the infaq was something that He gave a fadl there. A fadl is an excess because men need that in a relationship in which the woman is raising children. A woman is having childbirth. A woman has a jihad, according to the hadith, which is sahih, in her house that is ongoing, and many men will never get the opportunity to actually be involved in a jihad, which is one of the highest maqams in Islam. And so Allah gives men a head start spiritually, because when they reach on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's basically equaled out in a lot of things. One of the other things is, one of the greatest qualities of the human heart is riqqa, is a type of brittleness. And the Prophet ﷺ praised the Yemenis because he said, أَرَقُّ قُلُوبًا, that they are more brittle-hearted than other people. In other words, they wept easier, and that was better for them in terms of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because one of the descriptions that Allah gives about people that love Allah is that they weep easily. Now, spiritually, women have a total advantage over men in that area, because most men have a very difficult time weeping. And the Prophet ﷺ actually said, if you can't do it, then at least fake it. You see, but women don't need to fake it. They can actually weep very easily, and when they take a spiritual path, it's something that comes completely natural to them to actually have that ability to weep, because the heart has this softness, this rahmah. And then if you look at the description that Allah uses when He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the word rahmah, He said, شَقَقْتُ مِنْ إِسْمِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحَمْ مِنْ إِسْمِ الرَّحْمَنِ فَمَنْ قَطَعَهَا فَقَدْ قَطَعْتُهُ. I have derived my name, ar-Rahman, from the womb. The word for Arabic for womb is derived from the name ar-Rahman, the womb. Now, men do not have wombs. In fact, a woman is a man that has a womb. Men don't have that. That is a spiritual disadvantage. They don't have the source of rahmah, because the source of rahmah in the world is the womb. And the thing that is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world is rahmah. So if you remove the spiritual realm, then what you've done is you've given man a complete advantage against a woman in terms of the dunya. The vast majority of women will lose out to the men. But if you bring in the spiritual realm, the women actually have an advantage over men if they choose to take that path. And this is because Allah is just. And Allah has created al-dhakar wal-untha. And if you look at the first human being has both male and female. They're both there. And then from that comes the dhakar and the untha. In other words, pure differentiation. But the first human being, who is called Adam, contains the whole thing. And from Adam alayhi salam comes Adam and Hawa. And that's something a lot of Muslims don't understand, that the first human being contains both realities. And from that first human being come the differentiation of dhakar and untha. There's a verse in the Quran when Maryam's mother, she gave what was in her stomach as a nadr. And a nadr is an oath that you make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you give something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do something for the sake of Allah. And she gave what was in her stomach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was in her womb. Now, she was an Aaronite. And the Aaronites are the ancestors of Harun alayhi salam. And the Aaronites had the honor of being the caretakers of the temples. And what she wanted was that her son would become a caretaker of the temple. When she gave birth to Maryam, what did she say? She said, it's not a male, it's a female. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, and Allah says, Allah knows what it was. Allah knows what she gave birth to. And then there's an expression, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like the female. Now, when Muslims hear that, you know, the Muslim men, you know, they get that puffed up thing, like the peacock. You know, laysa dhakaru kal untha. We're not like women. Part of the problem is that men don't understand the ayah. Because the ayah was actually the opposite of what people think. Laysa dhakar allati tamannathu Maryam kal untha allati wada'at. The dhakar, the male that she desired, is not like the female that she gave birth to, because Maryam was better than any male she could have given birth to, because Maryam would give birth to Isa alayhi salam. But there's another thing about Maryam that's really important to note, and that is that Maryam is not just Isa. Isa is Ibn Maryam. See, people forget that. They think Maryam is Isa, that her sharaf, her honor, is being the mother of Isa. But part of the honor of Isa is being the son of Maryam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all through the Quran calls him Isa ibn Maryam. Isa, and it's one of the few times in the Arabic language you don't use the alif when you have an ibn between bayna alamein. You say Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and you just write ba noon. You don't write that alif. You look in the Quran and it's Isa ibn Maryam, and it has the alif that is retained. And part of the retention there is that Isa, his name is Isa, the son of Maryam. So Maryam was made a sign for people, and she was a qudwa and a uswa. And in her was an example for the people of qunut, which is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That maqam is the maqam of prophets. She was given a maqam that prophets are given. And that is why many of our scholars, including Imam al-Bukhari, even Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and several other scholars, and in the Maliki tradition, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qarawani was absolutely convinced that Maryam was actually a prophet. Now the majority of ulama, and the dominant opinion, is that prophets come from the men. That's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to prophecy. In the same way that when angels, even though angels are neither male nor female, when they enter into a human form, they take the form of men, but they are not male or female. One of the things that Ja'far al-Sadiq said is that there were four masail, arba'u masail, izzuha al-dhul. The dignity of that was still a type of dhul. And dhul is a situation that forces humility. Now one of them is al-bint walau Maryam. Ja'far al-Sadiq said, al-dain walau danik, with al-bint walau Maryam, الوحشة ولو ليلى والسؤال ولو كيف الطريق. That those are types of situations that even though they're dignified, they still put you into a compromised situation. This is very important. The first was debt. There's nothing wrong with being in debt. The Prophet of Allah was in debt, but debt puts you into a compromised situation. When you go to your debtor, you're in a compromised situation whether you like it or not. Also, a woman, even if it was Maryam, that a woman by her nature. Now, one of the things that we know in sociology is that women unconsciously will smile at men when they see them, like if they're walking, they'll actually smile unconsciously. Part of the reason for that is to create a friendly atmosphere because of a fear that is inherent in being in a compromised position of weakness, which is physical weakness. And I'll tell you something about being tall. And I've noticed this because I have a lot of tall friends. Tall people do not have problems in airplanes where people are getting a little upset and things like that. Big people don't have problems. Because when they see how tall they are, they're nice and they're smiling and, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. And this is the truth. You see, and that's why Allah says He honored those who were given height in the dunya. It's part of having an honor to be tall, because it puts you automatically in a situation in which the other person is compromised. Why? Because you're looking up and he's looking down. And that creates a superior, inferior situation, whether you like it or not. And most of us middle stature or short people, we don't like it. You know, that's like Will Chamberlain. People always used to say to him, "How's the weather up there?" And he'd spit and say, "It's raining." Now, what are you going to do to Will Chamberlain if he spits on you? Because if you try to duke it out with him, you'd basically be hitting his kneecaps. So that's one of the things about human beings. I mean, we have these inherent psychological conditions, whether we like it or not. And we unwittingly go through life in these situations without really reflecting on why it's so. But I've seen many cases where somebody will be angry at somebody, and when the person stands up and they see how tall they are, they change completely. "Oh, hey, don't worry about it, man. It's okay." But if he was a smaller person, you know, he'd be puffing up and say, "What's your problem? Why are you doing that?" And this is why, if you go to gyms, you will often notice that these people that are pumping weights vigorously are about 5'6". I mean, it's, you know, this is a phenomenon. And then a lot of these poor people have to wear tank tops in winter when it's freezing cold outside, because they need to show that work that they've been doing in the gym. And they're just real human condition. People are put into compromises by their physical stature. Intellectually, people are put into compromises. Many women are intimidated by men naturally in the classroom. I believe it was called the Stone Study, when they did a study of the most successful women in the United States in terms of economics, in terms of politics, in terms of social endeavor. They found that the overwhelming majority had gone to all-girls schools, including Hillary Clinton. Because they were in environments in which they were not intimidated by male students. Because men get up and they'll shout out the answer, and they're boisterous, and they don't have... Whereas women have natural adab. They have a type of courtesy where they'll be silent. They'll be more contained. It's natural. And that is actually a spiritual state. They're more modest generally. They tend to boast less than men. And this is one of the things that they found also in doing studies on men and women, that women would often actually do the opposite. They would underplay their achievements in interviews and things like that, and men would overplay them. Very common phenomenon. And so when you look at these types of situations, you have to understand we are dealing with very different phenomena when we're dealing with the male and the female. Laysa dhakaru kal untha is true. They're not the same. They are different. But in this case, the untha was much better than what she was desiring. And that's important.